Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball as we do every Saturday morning today, debating a Cubs good dilemma, what to do with all that starting pitching, and wondering if the White Sox actually will score a run in Philadelphia. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, David. Yeah, it's can the Cubs play Miami and Colorado the rest of the year? it would be interesting. Obviously, you have to play the schedule. You have to win games. The Cubs had what I would consider a fantastic road trip. Okay, they went on the road, played 9 games early in the year against 3 top quality teams in Major League Baseball. Came away with a 5-4 record, which to me is almost like it's almost like 8-1 because of the fact that they kept pace with the leaders in the National League, but more importantly, they showed a lot of resilience coming back from a horrible loss in Arizona one night and winning the rest of that series there. So I really think that this is a Chicago Cub team that could do some special things on the field this year.
It looks that way, certainly coming back from the road trip 5-4, as you mentioned. Yes, and today, big day at Wrigley Field. So let's set it up because you want to spend all day here on the Score. Doubleheader begins this afternoon. Game 1, pregame coverage, 12:45. Game 2 begins at 6:05. Javier Assad in the first game. Shota Imanaga in the first game. It's Assad first, and then Shota Imanaga in the nightcap. Right. Excuse me, 6:05, and listen to every Cub game right here on the Score, and in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. That's the baseball in at Wrigley Field. The White Sox, they go back to the bump against the Philadelphia Phillies later tonight, and that's not going to be an easy task after nearly getting no hit for 7 innings last night in Philadelphia. Bruce, we'll talk about the White Sox for those who still choose to talk about the White Sox. But today we have Patrick Wisdom at 9:30. We've got Nick Nastrini, the rookie right-hander for the White Sox, at 10 o'clock. And we've got a lot of your calls, 312-644-6767. Let's start with the big picture question for the Cubs, Bruce, I think is most interesting this morning. Jameson Taillon threw 5 innings yesterday, gave up 1 run as a home run, basket. It was a basket shot. It's still a home run, but he looked good. He looked like the guy that they thought they would see from day one last year. He looked like a top of the rotation starter. And the Cubs have a nice problem developing on their hands. How would you rank the Cubs starting pitchers if you're doing that today in your Jed Hoyer?
As far as 1 through 5?
1 through 5.
Well, I guess you start with You're talking about active, right?
Available. So if you're plotting out your next, like this weekend, they got a rain out, they got a doubleheader. This is what they had to do Thursday night. They're sitting down. How do we want this to go?
Well, right now the most reliable pitcher is probably Javier Assad. He's right there with Imanaga. Imanaga hasn't allowed an earned run so far this year, although some of the starts have been abbreviated. I would say, Assad is certainly number one. I think Imanaga's two. You know, going down the line here, you tell me how you'd line up the rest.
I think when you look at that question, it's a loaded one. It's intended to make you wonder or realize that when you start to rank Cubs starting pitchers and guys you want on the mound to begin games, Kyle Hendricks is sixth. Kyle Hendricks is out of the rotation. Kyle Hendricks needs to pitch well Sunday against the Marlins, to me, to justify keeping him in that spot. And we both have talked about, and we both understand and have been here longer than Kyle Hendricks, so we realize what he has meant to this franchise. I don't know that Craig Counsell is here for a sentimental journey. That's a tough one. So I think when you talk to Jed Hoyer, as he did on Friday before the game, he articulated just how difficult of a balance this is.
You know, clearly, I think it's been, you know, it's not one or two starts. It's been four. So obviously, I think that that there is a level of concern. But I also would say that given his track record and given the fact he's gotten through some struggles in the past, this isn't the first time he has struggled. No one pitches for 10 years in the big leagues and doesn't have those kind of struggles at some point. So I think there's a level of concern, but I'm also very confident he'll figure it out.
And your answer to that dilemma is, if it's not figured out Sunday, which is his next start, David, how much leash do you have for Kyle Hendricks, knowing how important he is, the psychological part for the team, not even the physical part of the team? How much do you weigh that into your decision about how much length do you have for him? Or if it's a wonky start again, does he find his way on the IL and start working on things to try to get it figured out? Again, are we going down that Jake Arrieta road that we did about 4 years ago?
John Lester took the same path. I think every veteran pitcher experiences different ways of and different methods of being phased out or losing their stuff. With Kyle Hendricks, it's a little different because I feel like it's not a matter of velocity. He's never been that kind of pitcher. It's always been about the pinpoint control, command, keeping people off guard and mixing things in and out. But I don't know what – I don't know now how long the Cubs can afford to put him out there every fifth day. Every other starter, even like Justin Steele, who's going to be pitching a bullpen, I believe, on Sunday. So he is going to be back maybe in the next 2 weeks, perhaps.
Yeah.
Then a nice problem becomes a bigger nice problem to have, a bigger dilemma, if you will. You look at Shota, he hasn't given up an earned run. You look at Assad, his ERA is 2.16. You look at Ben Brown, it's microscopic in his last two starts. And then yesterday you get Jameson Taillon. So all of a sudden, Bruce, Jordan Wicks has got swing and miss stuff. You have a lot to be encouraged about from a Cubs pitching perspective. And then it's like, oh, yeah, Kyle's starting Sunday. And you're like, boy.
You have a very greedy guy in Craig Counsell. Greedy in the best way possible. He's greedy about winning ball games. He's greedy about not having experiments, okay? I don't think you can afford to experiment with Kyle Hendricks unless you see better command, okay? He might go out there and throw five innings and get beat on Sunday, but show better command and enough to let the manager, the pitching coach, and the front office believe that he's on the right road. But when you see the last start and you see Kyle Hendricks get beat on fastballs in the zone almost in the same time period, I've never seen that before. So this is a guy that really knows how to pitch as well as anybody in baseball, really knows the concept of this next pitch is going here. When you have that, you have major concern.
How major of a concern do you think it is for Jed Hoyer, who talked yesterday about liking this team and the way it rebounded from some tough losses on the road? And it's a good sign when you see the Cubs have that kind of resilience and resolve and the kind of things you'd like to see early on in any season, especially one against the type of schedule. So, Bruce, I mean, this isn't lost on Jed Hoyer. I do wonder, like, we talk about it, because Kyle Hendricks is who he is, and we talk, and there's a certain urgent tone to all sports talk radio type conversation. But if in the Cubs offices, is this as big of a deal as it seems to be outside of it?
I think so. It has to be. I think they also spend an awful lot of time on the very positive things that are going on there, okay? You're going to have pitchers on every team that are not pitching up to what they're supposed to be. In the case of Kyle, you have a veteran pitcher who's not pitching up to it, but it's not like you don't have replacements right now. You do. Does that weaken the bullpen? If, you know, right now Ben Brown is in the bullpen this weekend, he's liable to pitch one of the games as a follow-up to either Assad or Imanaga today in the doubleheader. Or is he being saved for the Hendricks game tomorrow to throw three strong innings, if that's the case and he's able to do that again? They have alternatives. The question is are the Cubs a better team with Brown in the bullpen right now rather than as a starting pitcher?
I would say no, but I think they have to work this out. I would say no, but I respect and realize that Kyle Hendricks deserves to exhaust every last option, and Justin Steele might be on the way. So Ben Brown's going to have a long career and I think a very good season ahead of him. Heck, Hayden Wesneski came up this week and threw the best four innings that Craig Counsell said he had seen of any pitcher this year. What did he get for that? A trip back to Iowa, all expenses paid to Des Moines. So I understand the dynamics.
Where the S's are silent.
Where the S's are silent, but the city is buzzing.
Thank you. Not when you say Wesneski.
So the Cubs have some options. I do wonder this, Bruce. I think when we talk about starting pitching, there almost is a surplus of it with the Cubs. Are we overlooking what I think could be a potential issue? Adbert Alzolay has blown three saves this year. The season is young, and I wonder, as Jed Hoyer addressed yesterday, what to expect reasonably from Adbert Alzolay.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to, you know, I think Adbert, you know, he's giving up homers. You know, that's been the, you know, that's been the challenge. You know, obviously he's had some really good outings, but, you know, certainly, you know, three different times he's given up homers, and, you know, getting him to, you know, I don't want to say execute, but I think that, like, you know, some of those pitches are, you know, they're in the zone and it should be below the zone. And the good thing is it doesn't seem like he has any residual effect of those things, which is important in that role. But yeah, no question. I mean, those three have hurt.
312-644-6767. I'm going to ask you, Bruce, and this is a question to the audience. Do the Cubs have a closer problem?
They only have a problem, David, is if they can't identify another arm for the pen. Losing Merriweather was the ultimate backup plan. That was a power arm that could be switched and was switched last year when Alzolay was hurt. He went in, he closed, he did a terrific job. He's on the 60-day IL. So who do you have in that system? Who do you have on that staff right now that qualifies for that role? Is Wisniewski, with a limited amount of major league time and success level, throwing 97 with a nasty breaking ball right now, is that your next project for a possible closer?
Wow. He does have was nasty stuff sometimes.
Very nice.
I don't know that he has that experience in getting the last three outs and what that requires. And you see it in Adbert Alzolay, who grew into the job in the second half of last season. There is an element of being the closer with the mentality to close and to be intimidating and to be have that energy and that kind of intangible.
See, David Neris was supposed to be that guy, but he hasn't shown any ability to be trusted at this point. Okay. He didn't look good in spring training, which is fine. He hasn't looked great during the season so far. That would have been your ultimate, you know, hey, you brought in this veteran guy. He has closing experience. He's thrown 210 games over the last 3 years. He's a perfect guy, but there hasn't been a lot of trust in him at this point.
Craig Counsell had Josh Hader in Milwaukee. He was part of Devin Williams becoming an all-star. I think when you look at his past, he has had the luxury and the benefit of having a lockdown closer. And I don't know if it was those guys were just perfect for those roles or Craig Counsell groomed them for that kind of job. But I do wonder, the more we hear from Counsell about outgetters and not looking at things in traditional ways, and we talked about this week on the Mullin Haas show a little bit, are we overstating this issue with Alzolay with three blown saves? No. Do you need your prototypical closer for a manager that doesn't really have any clearly defined roles and wants us to think about this differently?
Nothing more demoralizing than a closer not getting a job done. Three sliders that went out of the ballpark. He doesn't have to be perfect. He can give up a home run here and there, David. But you can't have a continual idea that the catcher behind the plate is hesitant to call for a breaking ball early in the count in a save situation. The greatest closers in the world, other than the guys who were freaks like Mariano Rivera and Trevor Hoffman, they relied on getting a breaking ball over to be able to establish their fastball. Okay, that is the case here. So you don't want your closer, and I'm not saying Alzolay can't do it. He proved last year he could.
He did. He was. Yeah. He's good.
Yeah. But he's going to have to reestablish himself here. As Hoyer said, the good news is that he can go back out there and save the next game and feel good about himself. So there is some confidence there.
312 Texter says, bullpen grades, Alzolay, D, Neris, F, Little, F, Quas, F, Smiley, C, Almonte, D, Thompson, Keegan Thompson, A. There might be your answer. That's an interesting possibility. Thanks for the text, and you want to keep them coming. Also, the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That's where we find Kevin in Palatine. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, the Cubs do have a closer problem because even last year, there were a lot of dicey situations with Alzolay. He'd get out of some jams, but there was lots of base runners, lots of hard contact, so I don't know. I like your idea, David. Maybe give Keegan a chance. Maybe give Leiter a chance. But I don't see him as a division-winning closer. But, I mean, he can still be part of the bullpen. And I had one other question for you guys. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this on several shows, how we get our head out over skis on players way, way too quickly. So as Garrett Crochet was getting a neck injury last night, watching all those balls fly out of that park, and after one start, David, your partner had him starting the All-Star game. We were saying ace. People were calling up about multi-year contracts. He's never pitched over 50 innings. So can we maybe – I'm not saying he doesn't have the possibility to be a rotation guy, but can we maybe slow down a little bit on ace, best pitcher in Chicago, stud? If he makes 100 innings this year and doesn't get hurt, consider that a win. But last night, expect a lot more of that because the start before that, he kind of got his ass kicked too. So can we just slow down just a tad on the ace talk? Thanks,
guys. Which partner is he talking about?
Thanks, Kevin. I think he's talking about my weekday partner.
Oh, Mike Mulligan?
Because I don't think you suggested that Garrett Crochet would start the All-Star game, did you?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. We did get carried away with the Garrett Crochet start. I might have been somebody who – that sounds more like me than Mully, but possibly we both did. Don't remember. It's very early those mornings. I think when you talk about getting over your skis, point well taken, Kevin. I've done it before. I'm not a very good water skier. I need a lifeguard handy. I do tend to get carried away. Ben Brown would be a good example, Bruce. I wonder, in applying this to the Cubs situation, I believe Ben Brown has pitched well enough to stay in the rotation. I believe when he went out there in shirt sleeves on a 35-degree night and pitched lights out, that was – I thought that this kid is mentally tough and he's got good, nasty stuff. Keep him there. I'll slow it down with him because the Cubs are kind of slowing it down with him. And I wonder if that's good advice. But back to the bullpen, do you see any other options that we're not seeing now? Are there any? Is there anybody in the organization that you think would fit? Is Keegan Thompson going to get a look if the Cubs eventually reach the conclusion that we are talking about, that they do have a closer issue?
See, extension of a bullpen guy being out there for more than one inning is more important in a lot of ways than necessarily identifying a closer right now. Thompson's throwing multiple innings right now. Wisniewski has the ability to throw multiple innings. He did it, and they won a game because of it the other day. Brown has the ability to throw multiple innings. So let's think 2024. What is baseball 2024 like? Is it five guys throwing one inning or four guys throwing one inning after the starter? No. It's for managers like Craig Counsell to identify guys that can throw multiple innings two or three times a week. Okay. So Thompson's role and Brown's role are more essential in the middle of the game, knowing that the average innings right now are probably below five for starters.
That's a great point, Bruce. You might need your fifth inning closer. You might need your sixth inning closer. Who's that guy in the high leverage mid-game moment that can remove that stress and answer those questions? I like this idea.
So if you have three of those guys, David,
your game
right.
is shorter.
Because they can't pitch every day.
You're right.
You know, that's why Wisniewski goes to the minor leagues.
You need three of these guys.
He throws almost four innings, you know, and he's no good to you for the next 3 days.
Jack from Wilmette has another idea. Jack, welcome inside the clubhouse. How are you this morning?
Good. I never thought I would say this. But Michael Kopech, I've been watching him since he went into the bullpen, and I know he threw one lousy pitch the other night, which I loved his reaction. He was really upset. I think he'd be great as a Cubs closer because the White Sox don't need him as a closer. And, I mean, here's a guy that really, he throws 98. He's now throwing the ball where he's not walking guys, and he really looks good. And the Cubs have a great minor league system. I don't think you'd have to give that much for him.
Jack, thanks for the phone call. Bruce, we love the idea of crosstown trades. We love the idea of who's gonna watching these deals and who gets the best of them. Is that even feasible? Do you think that's something that the Cubs would even entertain?
Well, would you trade Wisniewski for Kopech?
Right now? Probably not.
White Sox, knowing that Wisniewski could be another starting pitcher for them.
I don't know that Michael Kopech has proven enough as a closer for me to feel good about that trade. That's something I would – my initial reaction is no, because of Wisniewski's ceiling.
Right.
And we know where Michael Kopech's floor is, but I just don't know what to expect from somebody who has been the model of inconsistency and disappointment.
I think Kopech is a guy that's come out of the incubator now as a closer, right? I mean,
is that the work they were doing out there?
It's a brand new world.
They
for
put
him.
It in an incubator?
It's a brand new world. He can throw two pitches and be dominant in that role.
Was that before or after the milkshake? They got the milkshake and the incubator. The Michael Kopech incubator and the campfire milkshake, the two biggest offseason acquisitions at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Yeah. Well, you know how to kick a guy when you're down.
No, I'm not kicking anybody.
I told you some of my friends at the White Sox, they're just all over me for hitting the White Sox when they're down. We have to report what we see. You know, that's just the way it is.
It's been tough. I do wonder, Bruce, if Michael Kopech will be somebody the White Sox try to flip as they get closer to the deadline.
Yeah.
Or what is he?
Your point is a good one, David, and that is, he's got plenty to prove still
yes.
in this role, okay? Consistency as something Michael Kopech has to prove. He couldn't prove consistency as a starting pitcher. So consistency as a bullpen guy is something that he has to show now.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw. This is Inside the Clubhouse. And when we come back, Patrick Wisdom got a call-up, played on Friday. He's back with the Cubs. after coming back from an injury via and then rehabbing in Iowa. We'll talk to Patrick Wisdom next on Chicago Sports Radio 6.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
70 the score.
Wisdom drives one in the air. Center field, deep back. It's got a chance. Gone. Patrick Wisdom has tied the game with a long home run just to the left of dead center. And just like that, it's back to even, tied at one. That's a big one.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine, and thank you, Pat Hughes, for that highlight that described a home run from our next guest. And our next guest joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Good morning, Patrick Wisdom. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Welcome back to town. You were gone for a little while, but not that long. And I wonder, how are you feeling after your first day back from an injury? How's the back feel this morning as you wake up getting ready to go at it again?
Yeah, feeling good. It's nice to be back out there in front of Wrigley Faithful and back out there on the field with the guys. Obviously, getting a victory is huge too, and it's nice to have J-Mo back out there too, doing his thing, and because we're rehabbing together, and so it's nice to be back together as well.
Timing in the minor leagues while you're rehabbing, timing at the major league level, two different things, Patrick. How difficult is that to readjust to major league pitching? Guys that have three good pitches instead of maybe one and a half in the minors. And is this like an extended spring training for you coming back? And did it feel that way yesterday?
Yeah. Like you said, the pitching is, a tick better and adjusting to that, is part of the battle too. But you just got to go up there confident in your approach and, looking for what you hit well. And then usually good things happen, and if not, then you chalk it up and you learn and you get into the next at bat. But so it was nice to get down and to rehab and get some at bats because that was just the main thing that I was lacking. Spring was just at bats in a game situation. I was taking backfield at bats, but it's not quite the same when you're in a game scenario. So it was nice to get some of those under my belt and get back here with the squad and get my feet wet per se.
How hard was that to be away from the squad, away from what was going on? You approach the beginning of a season, there's all kinds of anticipation and excitement and expectations, and then all of a sudden you have to slow down. I would imagine rehab can be isolating. How did you stay in contact, and how difficult was that?
Yeah, great point. It is somewhat isolating in the sense that you feel, far from the team, both literally and physically. Because you're lacking that personal connection and seeing everybody every day. But just staying in contact with some of the guys and watching the games and then texting them like, oh, sick play, Nico, like, and great base running, or big time hit by whoever, and it's just kind of showing that, hey, I'm still watching you guys and still rooting you on, and and then they're checking in too, so that's always good. And it's nice to come back the other day and see everybody and see the smiles. It's just really nice to walk back in that locker room.
Patrick Wisdom, right fielder. Okay. that's something that for you to get used to, for others to get used to. What has the conversations been like with Craig Counsell and your role? Obviously, in your long career, both in the minor leagues and major leagues, you've been ready to go anywhere and do anything, and you've done that. That's why you've survived all these years. But what has the conversation been like with Craig?
It's been that, hey, we feel comfortable putting you anywhere out there on the field. I like that part of it. That just, helps me out being able to play in any situation. But, then of course the first ball hits me at third, I miss. And so, that was kind of hard for me as well. I'm like, damn, this is my position and I freaking missed it. But part of it, you just move on to the next one.
How would you describe the adjustment, if there is any, to Craig Counsell, to whether the tone at spring training and yesterday was your first game, obviously different manager, different tone. How different was it?
Yeah. I think you kind of hit the nail right there on the head. It was different, right? It was a good different in a way, not to say that the other way was bad. It was just, it's Craig Counsell now. He's our new skipper and he does things his way. And, like you said, set the tone early of, bringing us together, establishing that unity, that team environment, that picking up each other when, an individual may have a bad outing, a bad day, whatever the case may be. It's just lending that hand to pick that person up, because that person in turn will, lend out their hand and pick you up when, you have a bad game or whatever it is. So with Craig, establishing that unity and that team mindset from the get-go and establishing, seriousness, but also fun. You got to have ounces of fun, mixed into this game. And, he did that from early on. So I think that was huge for us to play like we've been playing.
Patrick, the uniqueness of a clubhouse from year to year is significant. You guys have, a lot of the same guys from last year. But yesterday after the game, Dansby Swanson talked about it. The team went out for a dinner with 20 of the players in Seattle. How far do those type of things go? I mean, obviously media only get dribs and drabs of the closeness of a clubhouse. But how far do things like that go as far as being with somebody like you are your teammates for 200 days out of the year playing ball games?
Yeah, those are, ultimately the little things that stack up and, make it, those years great, is spending that time away from the field with one another and getting to know them, on a personal level, rather than just that playing level, because then you're able to kind of dive a little deeper into that person and get to know them a little bit more and help them even more or push them, during the games. And you kind of, that it strengthens that bond, more so than just, a slap on the butt during the game. You're actually bonding with that person and establishing relationships and friendships, and that goes a long way.
Talk with Patrick Wisdom, Cubs third baseman, outfielder, designated hitter, power slugger. Let's just call him that for another few minutes here on Inside the Clubhouse. David Haw, Bruce Levine, talking baseball. Patrick, you look at your Cubs tenure, and this is your fourth year, and you've averaged 25 home runs a year, and I just wonder, when you go through the off season over the winter, we're always talking about here on the station, and you probably see it because you're a plugged in guy. And boy, the Cubs need a power bat. Oh, they need a bat. You often get overlooked. Your name doesn't always come up in the conversations. How do you view that, and how do you take that? Because you are a guy that, when you look at your power numbers, been pretty good the last 3 years.
Yeah, thanks for that. I try not to think too much about that. It's, what they're saying. It's not what, I believe in myself. It's not, what my peers value me. So I do get that sense, but at the same time, I don't let it affect me because, all I can do is what I can control. And so if I just stay in that mindset and, go out there and prove what I can do and just play my game, then, it'll all be good. So that's the way I see it. And I think to answer it bluntly, yeah, I don't really pay much attention to that nor care. So, they're paid to do the front office moves and to build the team how they want. And, that's their job. And my job is to go out there and, drive in runs, put the ball in play and, hit for power and play defense.
Attitude is everything in sports and in life, and you've always had a very good one, an excellent one. How much do the mental skills department of baseball teams now come into play for you and your teammates and people in the game of baseball as far as having a safe place to go to keep anxiety out of the day, out of the issue, to be able to concentrate on your work?
Yeah, it's important. It's, you know, Yogi Berra has mentioned it, you know, and I think it still rings true about, you know, how mental this game is. It's more so than it is physical because, you know, you can have the best talent in the world, but if you don't think you're the best talent on the field, and you're going to go out there and you're not going to play well. But if you have a little bit of talent, but you think you have the greatest talent in the world, you're going to go out there and you're going to fare pretty well. So, yeah, like you said, it's an important part of the game. You know, here in this clubhouse, it's nice to have the guys that we do being able to like bounce things off and maybe, you know, even talk. And I think that goes back to those dinners that are away from the field. It's feeling comfortable now going to certain individuals like, hey man, like feel a little down, or like, I feel like I'm just not doing enough. And then you're able to get picked up by, you know, your teammates. So not only do they have people in place, you know, doctors and psychologists and whatnot, sports psychologists, but you're also your teammates too. It's a good mix of leaning on, you know, professionals and your teammates.
Patrick, last thing, and really appreciate your time. Technically speaking, how are you going to reduce your strikeouts this year? What's the goal in cutting down on strikeouts?
Just swinging at my pitches, swinging at pitches in the zone.
Is that simple?
Yeah, I mean, you got to make it simple. You can't overthink it.
All right, well, appreciate your time. Wait, I have to add one thing. You referred to, we have an ongoing conversation here on the morning show about managers being referred to as skippers. You referred to Craig Counsell as skipper, I believe. Is that a common way to refer to your manager, and why?
Yeah, I think, and that's just the way I've seen it, and I've heard other people address it, so I just start using it in my vocabulary, and rather than like, hey, coach, or, you know, that isn't fair. So
he would hate that.
There's other names when you're not in the lineup.
Yeah, you're right.
Say, hey, Skip, what's up, Skipper?
All right,
Patrick, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Patrick. I appreciate the input. Patrick Wisdom, Cubs outfielder, third baseman, slugger. Had to ask him that, Bruce.
And,
I could not.
An all around good guy.
All around good guy.
Being with us.
Yeah, he is all around good guy, and he was generous with his time, and he is a guy that has averaged 25 home runs the last three seasons, Bruce. That's not anything to – you don't think of those numbers.
What are you trying to say?
I guess I'm trying to say I'm thinking out loud because I'm talking to myself. I did not look at Patrick Wisdom as a guy that you counted on necessarily when you're factoring in how good the Cubs are going to be this year in the offseason. When you're clamoring for guys you think should be the DH they should go out and sign, I really didn't factor in Patrick Wisdom very much.
But I think guys like Craig Counsell look at him and go, he's going to help us win four games all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
That has value in itself. He can back up. He can play third base. He can play first base. He can DH, okay, against left-handers. He has value. Now, as things go on, will the challenges be more for him to be able to stay on the team depending on how the teammates perform? Maybe so.
Good point. Great interview. He is a very likable guy, Patrick Wisdom. When we come back, more Cubs talk inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine. Patrick Wisdom, Bruce, I asked him the question about being overlooked, and it dawned on me as I sort of went through his answer. 25 home runs a year for the previous three seasons, certainly worth noting, certainly valuable. I think it's all in the context, though, of wondering as the Cubs raise their expectations. That goes for not only the season and the win total, and where you're headed, but also for every player on your bench. So, does Patrick Wisdom still fit on this team the way he did in the previous three? And I don't know if the answer is yes.
You know, you just said in a nice way, is he good enough for this year's quality of the Chicago Cubs?
I'm wondering.
And it's good that professionally you could put it that way. I'm not – I'm not as polished as you are. You know, I'm just going to say, you know, well, if they have better players, okay, it's incumbent upon them to move on. You know, can they trade Patrick Wisdom at some point? Or are we knee-jerking too early in the season where injuries continue? For instance, Ian Happ potentially is going to be out for the rest of this weekend, and hopefully not longer. We're going to get an update. He re-injured in some way his left hamstring.
That's not good. Yeah. That's not good. Now, Patrick Wisdom can be an option in left field.
All of a sudden you start making moves, and then you're down a guy and saying, boy, we should not have moved this player.
It's a great point to remember. I do wonder this, as you talk about that. Is Garrett Cooper, in the Cubs' eyes, an upgrade over Patrick Wisdom? Is he one of those guys they brought in because they felt like they could do better and they needed to?
You know, possibly. I mean, they're both DHs against left-handers. Can you have two? Garrett is also the backup first baseman on the team. Wisdom can play there as well. I think Garrett has more experience, is a little more polished defensively at the position. One injury to Bush, and you're like, how are we filling this role? Are we putting Bellinger back at first base? Are we bringing up another outfielder to use? Again, injuries are so prevalent in baseball now, and counting on guys to be on the field for 150 games is such pie in the sky that you have to be careful about your roster construction, who you keep and who you let go.
It is going to be a full day of baseball here on The Score. Cubs and Marlins doubleheader. Pregame starts at 12:45. Game two pregame begins at 6:05. First pitch for the first game is 1:20, and the nightcap at 6:40. Javier Assad in the opener, Shota Imanaga in the nightcap. Keep it here all day. What else are you going to do in Chicago? The Bulls are done. The Bulls blew it Friday night in Miami. They're saying goodbye today at the United Center. Cannot believe what happened with that, Bruce. It shifts the focus to baseball, baseball, baseball. I know the draft is 5 days away.
And it's all DeRozan's fault.
Is it?
Because he didn't carry the team like he has all year.
You're blaming that on DeMar DeRozan?
No, I'm not. I'm being very sarcastic about the fact that, you know, he elevated their play in so many games that, you know, team-wise, and again, I'm not a Bulls expert. I covered him for 25 years, but it's been a while. You know, they have some work to do.
Is an expert. They need an expert. Put a roster together that can win a playoff game. We're tired of waiting.
Patrick Wisdom would fit in well.
He would. Billy Donovan, I think, is a heck of a coach. I think they even played pretty well since they lost Zach LaVine. But you need to go into this offseason, and you can't embrace the status quo. That's our basketball coverage for this morning. We're going to get back to baseball. When we come back, Nick Nastrini, White Sox young right-hander, made his major league debut, and it was a good one earlier in the week. There's not much good news on the South Side, but there is Nick Nastrini, and we'll talk to him next inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.